Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And here's an aspect of the world financial crisis that doesn't get much coverage: organized crime. But my next guest says it should. Misha Glenny is the author of McMafia, A Journey Through the Global Criminal Underworld. Now, this book originally came out a year ago before it all hit the fan in the global economy. And the book got panned, or at least criticized, by Newsday for recommending more regulation of the world banking system. Way to go, Newsday. Now the paperback is out with a new foreword for these new times. Journalist and historian Misha Glenny was a BBC correspondent in the 90s, covering Eastern Europe after the collapse of communism. His previous books were also important: The Rebirth of History, The Fall of Yugoslavia and the Balkans, The Fall of Yugoslavia, and the other book is The Balkans, Nationalism, War, and the Great Powers, 1804 to 1999. We welcome Misha Glenny back to WNYC to discuss McMafia, A Journey Through the Global Criminal Underworld, in the context of current events. Hello, Misha. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Brian.
And it's been a long time. I think the last time you were on the show, it probably was the early 90s.
It was Yugoslavia. It was during the Yugoslav wars when they'd broken out.
And what was it in the book that got Newsday's back up about regulating the world banking system?
Well, they said that the book was a very entertaining book about global organized crime and how it's grown and so on and so forth. But they said, but Misha Glenny's prescription for a solution to try and prevent all the money that's being laundered around the world, i.e. greater financial regulation on a global scale, they said, forget about it. It's nonsense. And, of course, that's exactly what's happening now. Now, we are re-regulating the banking system because of the financial crisis and collapse. But as a collateral, it is very, very important in terms of doing something about the billions of money that is laundered through the financial system every year. And so in terms of combating organized crime, it's a very important, useful collateral if we go ahead and regulate it correctly.
And not that you saw this Armageddon coming, right? Your book was about organized crime, not securitization of subprime mortgages.
It was not, although, of course, the issues aren't entirely unrelated, as we have seen subsequently with the Madoff and Sir Alan Stanford cases, because, you know, if the Madoff figures are correct, $60, $65 billion or whatever, this puts him up with the very biggest of global organized criminals. This is a huge sum of money. And Sir Alan Stanford as well, you know, his reputation, if you even Google it, this was a man who was doing deals in very, very dodgy parts of the world.
And it certainly was a failure of the regulators, as we've been all over on this show and elsewhere. And your new foreword, the foreword to the new edition of the book, quotes a devastating November report from the British group Global Witness about how if the banking system can't even protect its own interest, its own profits, how can it be trusted to police itself for ethical lapses involving organized crime and terrorism? So can you get more specific about what kinds of corruption Global Witness was referring to?
Well, Global Witness, in their report, have been looking at the way that banks in relatively respectable parts of the world, like Europe, but particularly places like Switzerland, will do deals with, rather unpleasant dictators in places like West Africa, and allow them to launder the profits of money which should be going to that state for the personal bank accounts of individuals from the ruling families in those West African or Asian states. So they identify a number of places and a number of characters involved in this. And this really confirmed what I had been looking at McMafia, that if you want to, you can hide money, whether it's from the proceeds of, you know, raping a country's mineral resources, as happens all over the world, or whether it's from cocaine deals, or whether it's from trafficking in women.
I want to give you a minute to talk more about West Africa, because you single it out in the new edition as being especially victimized right now by global organized crime, with horrific implications, but that the West is too distracted by Citigroup and General Motors to be paying much mind. What's happening on the West African coast?
Well, what's happening is where we were with Mexico about 7 or 8 years ago, essentially what happened is that the Colombian cartels, just as they had outsourced the final part of the cocaine route from Colombia to the United States to the northern Mexicans, which is what's caused all the chaos in Mexico, they have seen a huge expansion of the cocaine market in Europe. And what they do is, rather than send it directly to Europe, they send it to West Africa, first of all, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Senegal, Ghana. And then from there, it gets reloaded and goes up through Spain and the Balkans and countries like Ireland into the European Union. Now, the problem is that with Sierra Leone and Liberia, we've just spent billions of dollars trying to stabilize these countries after the most appalling genocidal wars during the 1990s. Having done that, we of course forget about it, and then the Colombians come in and see this opportunity, and what they do is the same as which they do in Mexico. They start to undermine the systems of governance, and that's really the appalling fate of West Africa. Is we've almost solved it. We've almost got over the misery of the 90s, and another misery, which is, you know, cocaine dollars, is about to descend. It's already begun.
What can the West do?
Well, it can start policing the place better. It can start trying to reduce demand for cocaine in the European Union and in the United States. But basically, I have to say quite frankly, Brian, the war on drugs is now not only a catastrophic failure. It does not prevent the production of narcotics. It does not prevent narcotics getting to the consumer in the United States or the European Union. But it is having a devastating impact on so many countries around the world, from Mexico through West Africa to Afghanistan. And I note with great interest that the Obama administration has struck a different tone on this issue. The White House has instructed officials not to talk about the war on drugs, instructed officials to talk about the problem of demand in the West. And there is some hope that we may be on the verge of a revolutionary shift in policy in the United
Though
States.
Though we laughed off that question about legalization of marijuana at the town hall online conference the other day. Did you see that?
You've got to be very careful about this subject, because anyone who knows, over the past 10 to 15 years, you raise your head above the parapet and start muttering about the possibility of legalization of marijuana, and your head will be shot off straight away. So you have to be very political about how you go about shifting a policy which is causing devastation, not just in the United States, but around the world.
Misha Glenny, author of McMafia, A Journey Through the Global Criminal Underworld. We're talking about the new release of the paperback edition of the book with an updated foreword, and talking about it much in the context of current events. So is the recession good for global organized crime because it flourishes when legitimate economies are weak? Or is it bad for organized crime because consumer demand is way down, especially in the United States? And as you've said, organized crime is fueled by consumer demand.
Opportunities for growth is what I call the new era of organized crime. You're absolutely right that in some sectors, demand has gone down. Demand for women trafficked for sexual purposes, demand for recreational drugs is down as well. But instead, what you've seen is a growth around the Western world in loan sharking. You've seen a growth in money going into banks from organized crime. Above all else, we're seeing an explosion of identity theft through cyber networks in organized crime. And the other thing which is going wild is counterfeit goods. So we've got a state now in Holland, in the Netherlands, where the Dutch customs have given up on counterfeit goods. You can now import 3 fake items if you're returning from holiday to Holland, because the Dutch police can no longer keep up with the amount of counterfeit goods flooding into the European Union from China.
Is there a sign there near the duty-free shop that says you may now import three
if they find counterfeit it, if they goods? Find it, they won't bust you, unless you have 4 items, in which case.
So last thing then, is the remedy the same? I mean, as I read the book, the remedy for this is the same as for helping the economy to recover, at least in large measure, which is transparency. Because the opaque nature of things like the AIG credit default swaps division helped allow the insanity there to get as far as it did, and it also enables organized crime?
It does. And within the banking sector, the most important thing with regard to organized crime are the tax havens. Now, there was a lot of talk about tax havens at the G20 summit, but we have been pretty sparse on detail so far. If we're going to do something about the amount of money that is being laundered around the world from criminal activities, we need to see that those tax havens are really closely regulated. Frankly, I think, and it's certainly within the capability of the Western world to do this, they ought to be closed down. Basta.
Misha Glenny, his new book, McMafia, A Journey Through the Global Criminal Underworld, the new version of the book, I should say. By the way, did you know that while you were coming here, General Motors was unveiling its first new car of the future since the U.S. takeover?
No, but I trust that it's going to be an environmentally friendly one.
It is a collaboration with Segway. So stop snickering and wait for a minute to find out the details. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.